Hello, this is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Pantograph from Monday, April 13th, 2026. Beginning from the front page, Local Politics, Democracy Dialogues Weigh Civic Virtue, Duty. Attendees Reflect on Ability to Engage with Different Viewpoints, by D. Jack Alkery, Bloomington. Something interesting happens when people who hold strong, differing political views are offered a common space, like college, that oftentimes forces them to talk, said Eric Rankin, Associate Professor of Political Science at ISU. It brings them closer together, he said. It doesn't mean that you weren't still a member of the left or you weren't still a member of the right, he said, but you had to defend yourself. You had to talk about it. I can see where you're coming from. I do not agree with your solution, but I can listen to you. The same happens when citizens choose to engage in civic and social groups beyond merely voting, Rankin said, which is the least of civic responsibilities. Rankin was speaking to an audience of about 36 at the third of 5 Democracy Dialogues, Saturday, April 11th, hosted by the McLean County Museum of History. This one was held at the Bloomington Normal YMCA and focused on the phrase, pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness is coming together as a community and being open and listening to everybody's views and talking about our differences, said attendee Andy Ramalingam. This was the key point of Saturday's talk, said Roland Spees, another audience member Saturday. The ability to engage with other civically minded citizens, he said, the actual things that we discussed were probably less important than the fact that we were sitting there discussing things at all. Pursuit requires work. Previous democracy dialogues featured a conversation between retiring Democratic U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Springfield and former Congressman and Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, as well as a presentation on the phrase Life and Liberty, hosted by ISU history professor Matthias Thielmann. Democracy Dialogues is a 5-part series created by the History Museum to mark the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, inviting people to learn about and discuss the meanings of certain phrases within the document penned by Thomas Jefferson. Pursuit of happiness is a phrase that requires a deeper understanding of Jefferson's understanding of virtue, Rankin said, because readers often give the phrase a limited reading. It seems very perfunctory when a person would read Pursuit of Happiness and be like, so Jefferson's saying that I can be happy. Like, no, he was never guaranteeing happiness. He said that in this American experiment that you have the opportunity to work toward happiness. And that's where the civic virtue component comes in, Rankin said. It's in us. In order to have this country, we have to do the work of being together. We have to hold elections. We have to talk about our differences. The age of participants was one notable difference with Saturday's audience, with only a handful of younger participants. It was really cool to hear the perspective of people who have lived through, like, the civil rights movement, or people who have lived through things that have felt hard in history before, said Avery Spranger, who graduated from ISU in 2023 with a master's degree in political science. But hearing how that came out the other side, and there was still hope, we usually find our way back to each other, and we usually figure out a solution that works for everybody. The fourth discussion in the series will take place Tuesday, September 22nd, at Heartland Community College, focusing on the phrase, All men are created equal. It will feature Megan Leonard, Associate Professor and Associate Chair of the Department of Politics and Government at ISU, who will give remarks followed by audience discussion. Registration is encouraged, but not necessary. For more information, visit mchistory.org/250. From page 2, Drum Dance Show to Speak Volumes. Performance features West African Beats by D. Jack Alkery, Normal. Illinois State University School of Music is hosting a free performance of the West African Drumming and Dance Ensemble on Wednesday, April 22nd at Camp Recital Hall. The performance, titled Wisdom Through Song and Dance, will feature undergraduate and graduate student performers and will be directed by Nana Hema Ama Ofora Adenom, professor of ethnomusicology at ISU. One of the instruments featured will be a dano, or talking drum, Aduonum said. In many societies, specifically Nigeria, they use it as a talking drum. And it's called a talking drum because our languages are tonal, she said, and the tonality of the words changes its meanings. And so, a very good talking drum, dano, player, can speak volumes, can do poetry, can do praise, can advise. Another instrument, highlighted, is called the dzil, Adenom said, and it looks like a xylophone, but it has a much deeper meaning. Dzil actually means to gather people, to build community, to teach wisdom, she said. Guest performer Kontiana Somme, professor of English at ISU, will play the dzil and share African proverbs. The goal is to create a shared sense of community, Aduonum said. Especially in these days, in this political climate, we need such words of wisdom. We need each other, right? She said. In this polarized society where we think we can be on our own, I think it's really important that we go back to some of these African epistemologies, these ideas that help to build community, respect for each other. Doors open at 7:15 with the roughly 90-minute performance to begin at 7:30. Because of the ongoing construction around Kemp Hall disrupting walkways, Aduonum advised audience members to arrive at least 30 minutes early for the show. And I just looked up the date because I believe that there was a wrong date printed in this article. So this music performance, West African Drumming and Dance, will be on Wednesday, April 15th. That's this week, Wednesday, April 15th. That is the correct date for this program. Turning to page 2, local news. Today's Flick Fact. Question. So many places changed their names in time, we can't remember what they originally were. For instance, can you remember their names before it was Jewel, before it was Verizon, before it was Ameren, before it was Regions Bank? Answer. Jewel was Eisner's. Verizon was GTE, and in Illinois, based in Bloomington. Ameren was Illinois Power, and Regions Bank was Magna Bank, and originally McLean County Bank. How time flies. 100 years ago, April 13th, 1926, Madison Street, between the Pantograph Building and the Arlington Hotel, will be a mecca for hundreds of people tonight. The Pantograph, through the courtesy of Manager Rosensteel of the Arlington, has erected a screen on the hotel, and this will be flashed hot red news of today's elections. 75 years ago, April 13th, 1951, Mayor Cecil Cohn, who has been studying local drinking habits, issued an order that all private clubs in Bloomington will have to observe the 1 a.m. closing time, starting April 16th. In the past, taverns have had to close at 1 a.m., but the clubs were able to remain open. 50 years ago, April 13th, 1976, this month is proving to be one of the driest Aprils ever. Average rainfall for the month is 3.94 inches. Just 0.03 of an inch has been recorded, and that was April 1st. The dryness may spark more grass fires, such as in Normal, in a field in the 100 block of East Rab Road. 25 years ago, April 13th, 2001, the truth of Jesus Christ's death lies in the details for Bloomington area artist Denny Rogers. Rogers chose Holy Week to unveil his clay sculpture, the execution by crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. The 3-foot-high rendition of Jesus on the cross will be cast in bronze for reproductions up to 12 feet high for churches and cathedrals. The work is based on years of meticulous research on the Romans' use of crucifixion as a means of execution and deterrent to others. Nationally known for his wildlife sculptures in bronze and wood, Rogers relied on input from Christian and Jewish scholars, historians, archaeologists, and his own knowledge of human anatomy and experience as a former deputy coroner. As a result, Rogers' work is accurate, not pretty, but he thinks it's time to apply modern medical knowledge and archaeological discoveries of crucified remains to update the image of Christ's final hours. From it, he hopes Christians develop a deeper sense of what Jesus experienced on the first Good Friday. What I concentrated on is one split second in time, and that split second changed the world, said Rogers, whose show will be shown starting April 16th on his website. From page 3, courts. Stabbing suspect from Clinton jailed. Attempted murder, battery charged in Henry County. Geneseo. Police have arrested a DeWitt County man accused of stabbing a woman outside a convenience store on Friday afternoon in the Henry County community of Geneseo. Officers responded to the Casey's General Store at 4:33 p.m. to investigate a report of a stabbing with a female victim and a male suspect, according to a news release from the Geneseo Police Department. Officers located the woman, who was treated at the scene and then transported to a local hospital. Officers were able to locate the man suspected in the stabbing, who had left the scene on foot. Ilir Emiri, 31, of Clinton, was taken into custody without incident. Emiri was taken to a local hospital for treatment of a medical issue. When he was released from the hospital, he was booked into the Henry County Jail. He was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder and aggravated domestic battery. He is being held in the Henry County Jail pending a detention hearing. Emiri is currently on pretrial release in a battery case in central Illinois as well. On January 26th, Clinton police arrested Emiri in an aggravated battery case. He was released from the DeWitt County Jail on pretrial release on January 28th. Emiri is charged in DeWitt County Circuit Court with 2 counts of Class 2 felony charges of aggravated battery, with one of those counts alleging strangulation. A jury trial in that case is scheduled for May 11th. Police said the investigation in the Geneseo case is ongoing, and anyone with information about it is asked to call the Geneseo Police Department at 309-944-5141. Turning to page 4, national news. AP poll, young voters voice frustration with status quo. Dissatisfied youth, a lot of us have lost hope in change. Joey Capoletti, AP. Ann Arbor, Michigan. As students banged on desks and stomped their feet inside a packed lecture hall at the University of Michigan, Someone decades older stood in the back, quietly taking in the scene. Debbie Dingell, a longtime Democratic congresswoman, was there to watch progressive U.S. Senate candidate Abdul As-Sayed campaign with Hassan Piker, a popular yet controversial online streamer. Dingell has often served as an early warning system for her party, cautioning that Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump was on track to win Michigan in 2016 and 2024. Now she was once again scoping out the shifting political landscape, and something caught her eye. Quite frankly, I haven't seen that many people outside an event yet this year, said Dingell, whose district includes Ann Arbor, and who said her attendance wasn't an endorsement. A line of mostly young people stretched out the door and down the street, hundreds waiting in the cold evening air on Tuesday. Some had backpacks slung over their shoulders after coming in from class, while others had traveled from afar. Though they were there to see a progressive candidate, attendees didn't fit neatly into any ideological box. Instead, they shared a common dissatisfaction with both major political parties. Their frustration was a reminder of the anger that has coursed through modern American politics and now appears to be simmering with a new generation ahead of the midterm elections that will determine control of Congress. Liam Koenig was in third grade when Trump was first elected president, a moment that has shaped his generation's understanding of politics. "It's just become increasingly more inflammatory," he said. Now a high school senior in Oakland County, a longtime political bellwether in Michigan, Koenig described an era of constant conflict and anxiety. The mood among his peers, he said, is often somber and frustrated. "I think a lot of us have lost hope in tangible change," he said. Younger adults are more likely than older Americans to have an unfavorable view of both the Democratic and Republican parties, according to polling from February. Still, that frustration hasn't led to disengagement from Koenig. He waited for hours to see Al-Sayed. He described the campaign as different from what he's used to seeing, something more like Zoran Mamdani's successful run for mayor in New York City. He wanted that kind of energy in Michigan. "You're not going to get people out with business as usual," Koenig said. Carol Molina, an artist who recently moved from New York City, said she had been hunting for a candidate in Mamdani's mold when she arrived in Michigan. She settled on As-Sayed, who is facing U.S. Representative Haley Stevens and State Senator Mallory McMurrow in the state's primary. "We want to be able to live and, like, afford life without constantly scraping by," she said. Molina was looking for a clean break with the past. "I think the Democratic Party is losing because they're not really listening to what the people really want," she said. "They're trying to keep a party that existed before Donald Trump, and that party doesn't exist anymore." Ethan Schneider, a third-year student at the University of Michigan, described today's politics as a little unserious. "It's difficult to remain positive or not be jaded at a young age," said Schneider. Schneider said he voted for Democrat Kamala Harris 2 years ago, but like many in line to see Piker and Al-Sayed, was critical of her and her party. "Hate them," he said of Democrats. "They feel very complicit in terms of all the issues going on now. If not complicit, they're just doing nothing." Younger people are rejecting both parties at a much higher rate than older generations, according to recent Gallup polling. More than half of Generation Z and millennials identify as political independents, with a majority of older generations side with a party. This Gallup polling found that this growing group of independents seems to be motivated by unhappiness with the party in power, a dynamic that could benefit Democrats this year, but does not promise lasting loyalty. Jacob Abbott, an undergraduate student at the U of Michigan, said he felt the Democratic Party has strayed toward corporate interest politics. He dismissed concerns about El-Sayed's decision to campaign with Piker. The 34-year-old streamer has 3.1 million followers on Twitch and 1.8 million on YouTube. And he said, Hamas is 1,000 times better than Israel, describes Orthodox Jews as inbred, and claims that America deserved 9/11. For Abbott, the controversy underscores a broader vacuum in American politics, a lack of people who can command attention and speak to their frustrations, even if they're flawed. So is Hassan perfect? Probably not, Abbott said, but he's much better than the alternative the Democratic Party has had. Over decades in politics, Dingell has said seen long lines in packed rooms before. She was trying to gauge whether there's something more durable at the event with El-Sayed and Piker. After all, progressive candidates have long generated excitement without winning electoral victories. El-Sayed himself finished a distant second in Michigan's Democratic Party primary for governor in 2018. In addition, independent Senator Bernie Sanders, a leading face of the progressive movement, fell short in two Democratic presidential campaigns. But some Democrats argue this moment may be different, pointing to the recent victories of Mamdani in New York and Anna Lilia Mayhai, who won a crowded Democratic primary in a special U.S. House election in New Jersey. There should be a progressive running anywhere that one exists, said Pennsylvania Representative Sumner Lee, who also appeared with El-Sayed. Turning to national and world news, The Digest. More Democrats urge Swalwell to withdraw. Washington. Fellow Democrats are abandoning Eric Swalwell's campaign for California governor in droves after allegations surfaced that he sexually assaulted a former staffer, with a growing number urging the congressman both to quit the race and resign his seat in Congress. Swalwell denied the allegations, which he has said are absolutely false. They surfaced after he became a leading contender in the race for California governor to replace outgoing Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom. Over the weekend, with Swalwell's gubernatorial campaign already teetering, Democrats in Congress began to call for his resignation from the House. Some even said they would support the rare step of expelling him should he refuse to step aside. Exclusive Miami hotel gone after implosion. Miami. A hotel at one of Miami's most exclusive locations was demolished Sunday to make way for something bigger. Demolition experts completed the controlled implosion of the former Mandarin Oriental Miami on Brickell Key, a homemade island at the mouth of the Miami River, across from downtown. It marked the largest implosion for Miami in more than a decade, officials said. The 23-story building, which opened 25 years ago, collapsed in less than 20 seconds following blasts that occurred around 8:30 a.m. People watching the implosion safely from afar cheered and recorded phone videos as the building's framework collapsed following a series of rapid charges. Ireland. Irish Prime Minister Michael Martin said Sunday his government would offer new fuel tax cuts to try to end crippling protests over soaring gas costs, although he slammed the tactics of farmers and truckers who blocked access to the nation's only oil refinery and several depots. Ukraine. Russia and Ukraine accused each other Sunday of violating a Kremlin-declared Easter ceasefire as Orthodox Christians gathered to celebrate the holiday, despite Moscow's four-year-long war against its neighbor. Haiti. a stampede Saturday at a mountaintop fortress, popular with tourists in northern Haiti, killed at least 25 people and injured dozens of others, according to a statement from municipal authorities in the city of Cap Haitien. New Jersey. Police say one person was shot and killed and six others were injured in what they called a mass shooting late Saturday at a Chick-fil-A in Union, New Jersey, according to a press release issued Sunday from the prosecutor's office. No arrests have been made, but there is no threat to the public. Benin. Voters in Benin cast their ballot Sunday to choose a successor to President Patrice Talon, who is stepping down after a decade in power. Ramould Ouagdani, the 49-year-old finance manager and governing coalition standard-bearer, is considered Talon's anointed successor for the seven-year term. Mineral projects. Australia and the U.S. committed more than $3.5 billion to back a range of critical mineral projects, nearly double the amount pledged when the countries struck an agreement 6 months ago. The funding seeks to support Australian ventures to develop and refine metals vital to industries, including defense. Voters oust Trump ally Orban. Vote seen as rejection of authoritarian policies, far-right movement, by Sam McNeil, Associated Press. Budapest, Hungary. Hungarian voters ousted long-serving Prime Minister Viktor Orban on Sunday after 16 years in power, rejecting the authoritarian policies and global far-right movements that he embodied in favor of a pro-European challenger in a bombshell election result with global repercussions. It was a stunning blow for Orban, a close ally of both President Trump and Russian President Putin, who quickly conceded defeat after what he called a painful election result. U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance visited Hungary just days earlier, trying to help push Orban over the finish line. Election victor Peter Magyar, a former Orban loyalist who campaigned against corruption and on everyday issues like health care and public transportation, pledged to rebuild Hungary's relationships with the European Union and NATO, ties that have frayed under Orban. European leaders quickly congratulated Magyar. His victory was expected to transform political dynamics within the EU, where Orban upended the bloc by frequently vetoing key decisions, prompting concerns he sought to break it up from the inside. It will also reverberate among the far-right movements around the world, which viewed Orban as a beacon for how nationalist populism can be used to wage culture wars and leverage state power to undermine opponents. Turnout in the election was nearly 80%, according to the National Election Office, a record. On the streets of Budapest, drivers blared car horns and cranked up anti-government songs while people marching in the streets chanted and screamed. Many revelers shouted Ruskek Haza, or Russians go home, a phrase used widely during Hungary's 1956 anti-Soviet Union revolution, and which had gained increasing currency amid Orban's drift toward Moscow. With 93% of the vote counted, it had more than 53% support to 37% for Orban's governing party and looked to win 94 of Hungary's 106 voting districts. "I congratulated the victorious party," Orban told followers. "We are going to serve the Hungarian nation and our homeland from opposition." We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of Reading of the Pantograph from Monday, April 13th, 2026. Please stay tuned.